It's Tuesday already.
You act like it got here fast.
Oh, yeah. Good to be with you. As I am joined by the, I almost said the lovely and talented, but isn't that, and what's funny is I say that also when I've had male co-hosts. But then if I say lovely and talented to you, it just seems kind of creepy. Like, oh, lovely and talented Katie Christensen. The intelligent and talented Katie Christensen. So I love her brain.
You're so stupid.
The banana-clad Matt George behind the glass in yellow. Looks like a nanner. He's all dressed up today.
He is. He's fancy.
He's so cute.
He combed his hair. That's when you know it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of beard going. Combed his hair.
Purposeful, like 5 o'clock shadow.
Matt's moving up in the world.
God, you're like creepy parents.
Yeah, we judge you.
You know? We judge you.
We judge you.
We judge you, but we love you.
We do. We want you to succeed. We want
Don't
you
lie
to succeed.
Lie to me, Katie.
Hey.
Yeah, we're in your.
You listen here, Matt George. I'm the one that has your back most of the time.
602, we're already fighting. See what the tabloids say is true. It's inner turmoil amongst the show. They're always fighting. Oh, we got a big show planned for you today. My goodness.
My goodness. Lots of stuff.
Sat down last night and just perused, and there was just all kinds of stuff that turned me on and that I know is going to. Yeah,
Dave,
yeah.
Dave, we can't have that on
well,
the show.
Well, then I stopped looking at porn.
Yeah, I was going to say. Put away that free porn.
Working on the prep. Let's see. Gosh.
Well, mainly because training camp has started.
Training camp
that
has started.
That gives us a lot.
There's training camp updates for mostly the Raiders and some of the Niners.
And then, of course, the MLB trade deadline is finally passed.
Yes.
And we know what's happening.
The A's are like the carcass of Major League Baseball.
That just beat your team. So what does that make the Giants?
The Giants are just a team that's sitting on their laurels of 3 championships since 2010.
Oh.
5-4, buddy.
Hey, you feel good? Are you going to hang that banner tomorrow? You got the parade?
You know what?
Both
teams are not good right now. So would you two quit bickering over which is worse?
That's like the dork kid putting the bigger dork kid in the trash can at high school.
So basically you every time the Kings win a game?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
You dorks. God, how long until you leave, Matt? Jeez. My God. So salty.
Three hours.
But if I was him, though, I don't blame him. I mean, you got to hang your hat on something. He doesn't have much to hang his hat on as an A's fan. Giants,
Don't
they're
be that guy right now. Don't be that obnoxious,
gloating. Hey, I'm only obnoxious. He started it. He absolutely started it.
I did?
Yes.
I said the A's are
like the carcass.
Which is you starting it.
No,
thank you.
Hold on.
That's exactly what starting it means.
I think you mistook what I was saying. I'm saying the A's are the carcass of baseball, that the rest – you've got the Yankees and these other teams picking off
what
of it.
What positive connotation could that possibly
just,
have?
I'm on board with A's fan who's pissed about that. The poor A's are just being the farm team, giving up 27-year-old Sonny Gray.
Condescending, Dave.
It's not condescending.
No,
I'm with
you.
No,
I mean, I see what he's doing here.
He's saying the
rest of the league is treating them like the carcass and just picking off the last bits of meat from the bones.
But in order to be treated like it, but it's an opt-in carcass because Billy Bean's opting in. He's opting into being treated as a carcass. He gets a couple of prospects.
It's not easy for him either, Dave.
I know it's not.
It's been a tough 20 years. A
couple prospects are coming off a major injury. And then I don't know anything about the third one. But Sonny's gone. 27-year-old Sonny Gray is now a New York Yankee. And the Boston Red Sox, Dave Dombrowski, has some comments on that. So we'll get to that. Our good friend Daryl Morey. And by good friend, he follows me on Twitter, so that's
your,
a big deal.
He's your Twitter friend.
It's about it. I've talked to him like twice. I tried to get him on the show today. I told you before the show.
Yeah.
He politely declined via text.
Yeah.
Said, nee, I'm okay. I'm good.
Thanks, Dave, for your interest.
I tried.
I appreciate it.
But he suggested that the awards in the NBA should be done away with. And we'll get into that.
Prime example of butthurt GM.
We have a Steve Bartman update,
Ooh.
Which I love. I'm a very big fan of Steve Bartman, you know, coming back into the fold. I think that's a sports moment.
But he's not
moment.
Coming back into the fold. That's the sad thing about this whole thing.
You know, small steps there, Ellie. Small steps. Baby steps. It's a baby step right now.
Katie.
Katie. That's a line from Contact with Jodie Foster. Garen Conley will not be charged.
Katie.
He's off clean, ready to go for the Raiders. That's a big deal for them.
It is.
The idea was that if he didn't have legal issues, he could be the steal of the draft where they got him. Well, he no longer has legal issues. So there you go.
It's interesting because when they drafted him in the first round, what was it, 24th, I believe, everybody else was thinking he was going to fall to the second round because of that, the sexual allegations
yes.
against him that were still. And the Raiders said, hey, we did our due diligence. We investigated this matter, and we think that he will be cleared. And looky what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good news. Nothing but good news. Well, I shouldn't say nothing but good news for the Raiders. We got some
yeah.
we got some bad news and some kind of lame news for the Raiders. We'll get a camp report. A lot of stuff going on. First day of pads was yesterday for the Raiders. That's a big deal. There's a fantastic exchange. We have the audio of Donald Penn who's holding out.
Yeah.
Of Steven Jackson and Charles Oakley.
Oh, my God.
The big three, where Oakley is the coach.
Well, considering the fact that the big three is boring at best.
Yeah.
The best thing that they can do is have these little, you know, public arguments.
Makes you want Charles Oakley to be a coach in the NBA.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah. It's just some team that's going to suck next year. Just put him in there. Every player would listen to Charles Oakley, I promise that much. I don't know if he'd be a good coach.
I mean, he is pretty dapper on the sidelines, is he not?
He did, yes. Got the gray going. Oh. Beard. Looks like an elder statesman.
Well, he was suited up.
He'd still punch anyone in the head who messed with him. So we got that. Football player says he'd rather die, or the field is a perfect place to die when talking about CTE. So we got that.
That pissed some people off, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got.
So are you trying to tell me, like, this is the first time in a long time where we're actually going through in the first segment all the different things that we have?
Just a couple of
things. Does that mean that you have no blah this morning?
Well, I do.
There's
no fight
with your wife.
No,
there's no thing your, quote, stupid kids did.
Hey, I'll say this. I mean, I just got a couple things. Grant Napier put on his golf tournament yesterday. It was fantastic, as always, and thank you to him and his wife, Star, and everybody that put that all together. They do some tremendous work for the Fairway to the Future Foundation, where they take kids that normally couldn't afford to go to college, that apply for their scholarship, basically, and they put them through school. And they've graduated a ton of kids. At the end, at the banquet following the tournament, the highlight is always one of the kids gets up and speaks, and the girl that got up yesterday is about to graduate UC Davis, first college graduate in her entire family, and she got a little emotional. It's fantastic. Say what you want about Grant, I know the whole New York thing. Some people love him, some people don't.
He comes across abrasive.
Yeah, sure, he is abrasive.
Pretty soft underneath there.
He is an incredible softy, and the work that he and his wife do, and the Future Foundation do for those kids is unimpeachable.
How'd you play?
Oh, terribly, but I had fun. It was myself.
Were you a scratch golfer yesterday?
Scratching my junk.
That's what I was
That's
asking.
About it. Because it was a.
Damn it! Don't take my joke.
I stepped on the bit.
Oh.
It was just a wet mess all over the place. I mean, it was so hot yesterday, and not by. It was weird yesterday. It wasn't by, like, I think it was 103 at one point, which is hot, but that's not like I'm going to die hot.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it was up there. Played at Cotta Vedera, beautiful course up in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a like one of those cooling socks that you can put
yeah,
around
you put
your
it
neck.
Around your neck. I was
I had it filled
about
with
that
ice
over the weekend.
I was dipping my golf hat in the ice water in the coolers and then just putting it right on my head without even shaking it out. And it was still hot as balls out there. It was
hot
Yeah, it was horrible. It really was really hot. One of the caddies had to leave for what, he had heat stroke or something like that. Yeah, it was really really bad. But you know, the great thing about that tournament is there's coolers and food and every single hole, there's something, you know, and I wasn't drinking yesterday at all. Got to play with,
yeah, you're not again,
especially there now.
Yeah.
Chris Clark of the Kings played in our foursome. So that was fun. It was fun to play with him. He's a good dude. So that was fun. And then the only other thing I got for you is, so I got home I immediately went into the, just dove into the pool and just sat there and stared off into space. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently my wife had gotten off of work, come home, gotten my kids. She did my son's school shopping yesterday, mm-hmm. or the day before yesterday. Does my daughter's yesterday. And then by the time.
That's now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's next week. They go back.
Oh, Lord.
And then, what do you mean, oh, Lord? That's great.
It just goes so fast.
Good. Go back. I wish it was 2 weeks off. That's free daycare all day long, and they're learning something. I love it. I wish it started today.
Okay.
So the
this just in, Carmichael Dave does not like being around his children.
No, just don't like being around him for, you know, 12 hours a day and then having to find activities so they don't do iPads and PlayStations all day long. You know, basically parenting, Katie. I don't like doing that. I'd rather the teachers do it for me. So my wife gets home, and she's super pissy, and she and my daughter, who, again, is nine, are yelling at each other back and forth, and she comes outside with a slice of apparently the problem was is that she stopped by a not-so-quality pizza chain that I'm not going to name, but is cheap and ready, okay? So, and apparently my daughter said something to her about, well, okay, I guess, but that's kind of greasy. It's kind of greasy and unhealthy. Yeah, right. And then, so what does my wife do? My wife, okay, here's what I do. If my daughter says something like that, okay, cool, you get cereal. And then she sits there and cries because she has lost her chance at pizza because right. she opened her dumb mouth. My wife engages with it.
She does.
Like she's an adult.
She does.
And they go back and forth. And listen, all due respect to the love of my life and my bride, she's not as smart as my daughter. She's just not. She's more worldly. She's more experienced.
You're a horrible person.
I'm just calling it as I see it, man. My daughter is smarter than my wife.
Your daughter is a master manipulator.
Yes, she
is.
Yes, she is. She is a lawyer in training. And so my wife's outside munching on a piece of crappy, greasy pizza and near tears, frustrated at my daughter. And, you know, here I am, dad splaining to her. I was like, shockingly, she didn't have a good reaction to this. But I was just like, you know, you need to calm down, man.
Whoa.
You got to chill. Like, whoa. What do you think's going to happen? She's a 9-year-old. She's going to win the battle of attrition with you. And then you're going to end up taking the cop-out way, which is because I'm your mother, or I told you so. Well, that's basically throwing in the towel.
This goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. There's a reason why I don't have any fights in my relationship. Doesn't mean that there's never, like, any, like, little issues that pop up.
Uh-huh.
However, one thing you will never hear me say is, you need to calm down, okay? Oh. That is an instant trigger, especially for a woman to just go from kind of upset to like hell hath no fury.
Well, I believe in equality, Katie. I don't treat her any differently because she's a woman. All right.
You're so dumb.
Yeah, listen.
Like really, Dave?
You know what? Stop. I'm not dumb. She's dumb.
You are.
So listen, stop treating our kid like an equal. when she starts mouthing off, just tell her to shut up.
This is true.
Go, you know what? You don't like? Go to your room.
I would give her the same advice in how she handles you.
I'm easy. Just leave me alone. Feed me, clothe me, and you know, a couple other things. I'm good to go.
You know, 2-3 times a year.
Birthdays and Christmas.
It's about twice or three times as much as he usually does.
Wow. Wait till you're
Listen
married,
to
you
Matt
bastard,
George.
And see what happens.
Wow.
Morning Brew is now the
don't
judge.
Don't insult my age.
Judging by your text back and forth with your girl, I don't know about that marriage anytime soon. Well, the Morning Brew next. Sonny Gray, Dave Dombrowski of the Yankees, the Red Sox, compares the Yankees to another really, really good team. And Daryl Morey in Houston's got himself in a little bit of hot water about awards. We'll get to all that next. It's a big packed show for you guys. Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, the top story is Sonny Gray getting traded to the Yankees. Matt puts in our sound. That's not sound of Sonny getting traded to the Yankees.
Yeah, Matt, what's wrong with you?
That's sound from last night's game. You don't have the trade call.
You know what he's doing?
You don't have something?
You know what he's doing? You know how sometimes when people are, you know, going to go bye-bye and you just pick a fight with them because
Cameron. Yeah, it makes it easier.
It makes it easier. So
okay.
Matt,
Dave knows I love him.
Don't listen
from
to him.
The 916. Dave is a Giants fan. The same way he makes fun of Laker fans. I know exactly what this guy's saying. It's fantastic. So I, as a Kings fan, I get mad at Laker fan when we beat them, and then we're talking crap on Twitter to them.
I know.
And the Laker fans like 28 championships. What's up? And then I go, oh, live in the past. There, you set your turn.
You're like scoreboard. We just beat you.
Well, of course, I'm being like that. It's all we have. You go to whatever ammo you have, regardless of your team. I'm a Giants fan. My team sucks. They're terrible.
We're two grown-ass men fighting with squirt guns.
I know.
Their minor league system is terrible.
I wouldn't even say squirt guns. I think it's more like those bubble guns, where it just shoots out bubbles.
We have rubber bands between our fingers.
Sonny Gray gets traded, and Katie, I'll let an A's fan on the text line say it much better than I could. This is a great example of why I don't watch baseball anymore. The A's today traded Sonny Gray to the mighty Yankees for three minor leaguers. Mm-hmm. They constantly have to, or minor league prospects. Two of the three prospects are injured, but here's the kicker. The A's also paid the Yankees $1.5 million.
Uh-huh.
So let me get this right. The A's constantly have to let their good players go because they can't pay them, but now they have to pay the other teams to take those players as well. Baseball sucks. That's just
he's half right and the other half of him's dumb.
And this is what I have to say to a disgruntled A's fan who has a very good point, by the way. Just remember, Billy Bean said he's frustrated too, and he's right there with you. And there's a support group you guys can go to together. Even though he's the one that's making the decisions, at least you guys can go together and have some donuts and a cup of coffee, and you can talk it out together.
Use your last name. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Just exactly.
Why is he
but
dumb?
Is this not like a, okay, they're moving forward. They've got some prospects. And by the time they're in the new ballpark, everything's going to be better.
Well, what did you think was going to happen first and foremost, Texter? I mean, I'm surprised this move didn't happen last year. We knew it was going to come this year, and this was probably going to be the best haul that you were going to get for Sonny Gray, who hasn't been the Sonny Gray of old for at least a year and a half. He's done well over the past six games, but what did
you
get?
Oh, he's going to go to the Yankees and just
probably. I know he will.
We know he will. He'll just go kill it.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sonny, but you get three top 12 prospects at number 5, number 8, and then number 12. And if anything, if you can trust anything with this A's organization, it's that they know what they do.
They know
scouting.
Talent. Yeah, they know how to young
scout
talent.
And they know how to develop. So this is the least of my worries is them getting the talent. It's then holding onto it. Yeah. That's the problem.
All right. Number two.
A's explained it to us.
Gonna miss that, Matt. You get the idea. It's kind of echoey.
It's kind of.
Kind of echoey. I don't know how that's coming through the speakers. That's Dave Dombrowski. Said calling the Yankees the Warriors of baseball.
Yeah, and this goes back to the Chris Sale trade in December when the Yankees general manager, Brian Cashman, said that the Red Sox had become the Warriors of baseball and they probably wouldn't lose another game. And so now he's just returning the favor. It's a nice little – they're batting the ball back and forth, Dave.
I'm a West Coast guy, and I hate East Coast bias, but I'll say this. Baseball's better when the Yankees and Red Sox are going at it. Baseball's better when the Cardinals and Cubs are going at it. Baseball's better when the Dodgers and Giants are going at it. I like this. This is just talking crap back and forth. Hey, newsflash, neither team is the Warriors. Baseball's a much different animal. It's just a matter of who has all the depth, a little bit of luck, and in this case the crazy thing about that Sonny Gray trade is the Yankees make it. They gave up a couple of prospects, but as the texter mentioned, they're both coming
43 games over 500.
They are.
They're just smashing it right now.
And those are top 12, top 20 Yankee prospects, but they're both coming off a major injury. The Yankees are ahead of schedule. The Yankees.
The shocking thing about this is they were not projected to be at all good this year.
I'm saying they're like the Cubs of 2 years ago.
But this just tells you about baseball. It's so much different than, I think, any other professional sport where you can have a really bad year and an immediate turnaround the next year.
Sure. So here we go. Yankees, Sox, Astros.
No one should ever be surprised when the Yankees are better.
Number three. It's Russell Westbrook winning the MVP.
I wish we could show his face, James Harden's face, when that was announced. It was a no bueno.
At pissed off Daryl Morey is the GM of the Rockets, and understandably has his players' backs.
He might have gotten baited into this comment a little bit, and then he just let loose.
Daryl Morey's a smart kid, but he the crossover did a telephone interview with him and asked him about the method of voting the league uses. Daryl Morey said, quote, "I don't know if this is a good process. The ones that are decided by players or executives or media, they all have their strengths or weaknesses. I don't think there's a good process."
Well, he's claiming that the criteria changed all of a sudden versus what it's been the last 55 years. It used to be about winning. Like the MVP went to winning teams. Well, obviously, you know, if that's the case, then Kawhi Leonard would have been the MVP because he had more wins than James Harden.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then Steph Curry would have been the MVP. That's what I'm saying. It's dumb. I get Daryl Morey's pissed because Harden missed out to Curry the year before, and he was told it's because Curry had more wins. Then Harden missed out to Westbrook this year, and Harden had more wins than Westbrook. So Daryl Morey's saying, well, why do we even have these? Why? Maybe it's better to not even have it.
Love him or hate him, Blake Griffin's quote tweet about this was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, tell the kids what he said.
The story pops up, and it's like, oh, Daryl Morey's upset. And Blake Griffin goes, honestly, we should do away with championships, too. Seems dumb to me. Participation trophies for everybody.
Don't at me, he says. All right, coming up at 7:30, we're going to spend some time on this. We're going to spend some time on what Daryl Morey said. I think I might have a solution.
Oh, really?
I put a lot of thought in this, Katie. I'm being serious. I think I might have a solution to this, a fair and equitable solution that would make Daryl Morey happy and I still think would be absolutely fair. We'll do that at 7:30. Coming up next, Sonny Gray traded the Yankees. The Dodgers pick up an arm as well. Steve Bartman is going to get something very special from the Chicago Cubs, and he kind of came out of hiding yesterday and made a statement. And the Los Angeles Olympic Committee was successful, sort of. We'll tell you next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, based on the conversation we were just having, this is a funny choice of song.
What are you talking about?
We're having a swimwear talk.
Oh.
It's The Drive, KHDK, Dave and Katie, Matt George, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. My wife told me yesterday, she's my program director, she said, you know, throw out the phone numbers enough. I just assume everybody knows the phone numbers by heart, which is the wrong
thing.
Because
you do?
Yeah. Wrong thing to assume.
Did you tell her that you don't throw them out if you don't want to talk to people?
I always want to talk to people. I love it. It's my favorite part of the job. It really is.
Yeah.
Other than, well, I'd say interviewing is awesome when we get a good guest, but I love
it. We had a great one yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
If you guys missed it.
Jack Cooley.
He was phenomenal. That was a lot of fun.
That's up on the website, right, Matt? That's still going okay? Yesterday's show? All right. KHDK.com. Los
Check
Angeles.
Check out our podcast.
LA has been awarded, I guess that's the term you use.
Yeah.
The Summer Olympics in 2028.
See, do you think this is like an award? You know what I mean?
They wanted
it. It's like, here you go. You asked for it. We're going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And with that, your gift is massive debt.
Boof. Now, well, here's the thing, though. The IOC has committed to giving the organizing committee $1.8 billion. As part of the agreement, $1.8 billion.
It's still not going to be enough.
It probably won't. I think the idea here, though.
They now have 11 years to update things, but what they're never going to be able to do is do it within budget. You know, when you build like a house, right?
Sure.
And you go in saying, oh, I'm going to do $100,000 for this, you know, rebuild or whatever. I'm adding on a room. It ends up being like $150,000.
I agree. I completely agree.
Times that by a gazillion when you're considering building Olympic quality facilities.
I think when it comes to a city like LA, and I'm not trying to predict that this is going to be fantastic for LA when we have various examples, whether it's Sochi, whether it's Beijing, whether it's who just had the last ones, Rio.
I think Paris is still paying for the one that they had in 1924.
Well, LA just did this. This is crazy. They last had the Olympics in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a Sam the Eagle doll at my parents' house.
I think they're one of only, and I'm trying to remember this just off the top of my head from when they said that Paris and LA were awarded the next two Olympics.
Yeah.
But they didn't know which one was going to be which year. But I want to say that L.A. is one of only three cities that's had it multiple times.
I think, yeah, this will be their third.
Third, I believe.
They had it in the 30s, I believe. And then, of course, as we just mentioned, in 84, first time the Summer Olympics will be in the U.S. since 1996.
In Atlanta. That's like the first time I really paid attention to the Olympics, believe it or not.
Well, you remember that was Janet Evans in swimming. They had the bomb go off in the Olympic Square. Yep.
And I remember it because that's kind of when I first started watching basketball, and the women's team was really good. And for whatever reason, like, I remember that they played that horrible song, Who Let the Dogs Out? And then that song, like, lived on forever.
Right.
And it should have been put down.
Here's the numbers.
See what I did there?
I do see what you did there. They get $1.8 billion from the IOC. LA does. Now, they say, and this is what's interesting about a situation like Los Angeles, that they have 90% of the facilities already set to host, which reduces the cost a little bit.
Are they just going to upgrade them?
Upgrade those, build the other 10%.
That's why it makes more sense to give, like, stop awarding the Olympics to new countries and new cities, right? Just have like four or five places that host, and it just,
I agree. We've talked about that a lot, that it should just be on a rotational basis, and not just in America, but we've talked about Greece. Yeah. We've talked about other places where it would make sense, one on every continent.
What if you do, one on every continent.
Sure.
You're fine.
The estimate the committee put out for the games is going to be $5.3 billion. That's what the cost will be. So some quick math, that's $3.5 billion after the IOC gift.
So Kobe's taking on a third of that, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're gonna hawk his wife's diamond ring. the city will receive
I'm so sorry, honey ring.
Yes.
Okay.
The city will get federal support for security. The LA committee says local sponsorships and ticket sales should cover costs. And
can you imagine the traffic?
Yes, I can.
They need to build more freeways.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
They need to have helicopters or drones by then that can just drop people. Amazon drones that can just drop people from place to place.
You know what we should do?
Mm.
What we should do is we should run some kind of like side scheme where we get a bunch of homes up here. Like, and we almost like Airbnb them to all the people that are fleeing Los Angeles, because they can give their homes up for Airbnb for people that are going. And
they
can come up here and we'll make money off of it.
You should just buy a bunch of houses. And then Airbnb them and then get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
And then flip them. So LA gets the Olympics in 2028. That's 10 years from now. So you have plenty of time.
Well, it's 11.
Plenty of time to prepare. Really, we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
We're splitting hairs. We're like 5 months away. That you're going to die on that hill?
It's like
10 and a half 11. Years from now. If you round down.
Don't get upset with me because I'm precise.
No, you're not. It's not 11 years, Katie. It's actually closer to 10 than 11. If you really want to go there. But, hey, thanks for stopping the show. Let's move on. Steve Bartman is going to get a Chicago Cubs World Series championship ring. I am curious if it's going to be like the real one the players get, or
it's
going to be the knockoff. It looks like the real
one. It's a real
But is
boy.
It the real one?
It's
There's
a
different
real
levels.
One.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I think that.
You think?
I think
do
that,
you know?
That ownership is so upset about.
They're
not giving
guessing.
Him a knockoff. You
know, not a knockoff. There's a $10,000 ring that is still not the actual ring size that the players got. There's different levels. There's like the $500 one, $10,000.
Like what if it's like the one they give to like broadcasters and like equipment managers?
I'm wondering.
It's still a real ring.
I agree. It's just not there's the levels. I wonder if he's getting the player one. Either way, the Ricketts family reached out. They're giving Steve Bartman a championship ring. I love this story, and I've felt for Steve Bartman throughout the years. We had a texter that's saying, this Bartman story is garbage, with exclamation point. For being an idiot, here's a multi-$1,000 ring. No. This guy, what is wrong with, for being an idiot, he reached up from his seat. Watch the tape to catch a foul ball. You know who else did that? 10 other people surrounding him.
Yeah, he's and just Moise, the one that caught it.
And Alou missed the ball that was in foul territory. It's not like Bartman reached into fair territory. He reached up. This is a guy who teaches kids. This is a guy who is a lifelong Cubs fan, and this is a guy whose life was absolutely ruined. And did he do a tell-all book?
And
did he do a Broadway stage show? No, he went into hiding.
Let's look at it this way, too. I love that fans want to blame. They want to assess blame when things go south.
Yes.
Okay. The Cubs blew the lead, and then they lost in Game 7. So it's not he's not responsible for Game 7.
No.
That's not his fault.
No.
That's their fault.
No.
But fans, especially Cubs fans, because of the drought, the curse, they needed someone to be their scapegoat, and it was Steve Bart. And I feel so bad for the guy. Like, I understand people being angry, but at the same time, it's like like you said, there was 10 other people around him. It's a total reaction, right? Things happen so fast, and your reaction is just to reach out and grab it, right?
Of course.
That's what you're there for.
Of course.
And so what happened to this guy since 2003 is a shame. And I applaud the Cubs organization for trying to fix this. The sad thing is, lifelong Cubs fan, he'll never go back.
I hope he does. I want to see him throw out the first
they've
pitch.
They've offered him to come back, and he won't do it.
I know.
And I don't blame him because he got brutalized.
You know what, though? Screw it. He's talking about forgiveness.
I knew you were going to do that.
He made a statement. He said, "I hope this ring gesture will be the start of an important healing and reconciliation process for all involved. It's all about forgiveness, how we should treat each other in society." You know what, Steve? You follow through. Follow through on that and forgive. And I get Cubs fans.
It's a well-written statement.
It is.
It really well-written.
They're overbearing. I understand. But, again, let's tie this back to the Kings. That's the Robert Horry. Now, for Kings fans, is it Robert Horry's fault that they lost? No. Is it the referee's fault in Game 6? You make the same argument that, well, they got screwed in Game 6, but they still lost Game 7, right? And the only way that's going to be healed, as I've told you before, the only way to get over a broken heart is you have to replace it with a new relationship. The only way to get over is win a championship. The Cubs did that last year. That's why they're doing this now, because they have replaced that broken heart. I like it. I want Steve Bartman back. I want him to have season tickets for life. I want Cubs fans to be able to embrace him.
I would take it if they paid for parking.
Guys, seriously, 14 years of hell for Steve Bartman. That deserves something. We'll take a break. When we get back, was Pete Rose a statutory rapist?
Well,
we're going to explore that one. The new lawsuit
he is the home
out.
Run king, so.
My goodness gracious. Yes, the home run king. Dear Lord, being told the Bartman World Series ring is the same as Cubs employees and not a player ring. I looked for that. I hadn't seen that yet.
Maybe you did that. It was like a Freudian slip. Maybe you knew deep down when he introduced Pete Rose as the home run king.
By the way, everybody on the text line is backing me up, like I told you, to 11 years, not 10, because it's closer to summer. So once again, I was right. Except the opposite. You were right. We'll take a break. We're right back. Pete Rose will explore this complaint next on The Drive Sports 1140 KHDK.
Woo!
Every once in a while, Pete Rose pops up, and it's weird. And I'm not just talking about signing autographs in Las Vegas.
Did you mean to do that? Every once in a while he pops up?
Yeah, and it's weird. It's weird. All right, here's why. So John Dowd, you may know this name. John Dowd is currently, I want to get this right. He is, I believe, defending Donald Trump. In what's going on with Russia and all that. I know he's involved in all that. I don't pay attention. Well, he's being sued by Pete Rose for
defamation, right?
Mm-hmm. Because Dowd, in a 2015 radio interview, said that Pete Rose had committed statutory rape by routinely having sex with underage girls during his baseball career. And Rose said, "Yeah, no. I'm suing you."
Well, the one specifically, there's a woman that went under oath and said she was under the age of 16. This was during the 70s back in Ohio, where the legal, the age of consent was 16.
A woman under oath said her relationship with Pete Rose started with a phone call from the baseball player in 1973 when she was 14 or 15. Sometime after that, I'm quoting now, Pete Rose and I began meeting at a house in Cincinnati. It was at that house where, before my 16th birthday, Pete Rose began a sexual relationship with me. It lasted for several years. The age of consent in Ohio is 16.
He was in his mid-early 30s, married with two kids at the time?
In 1975, he was 34, married with two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when the MVP that year was the Sportsman of the Year for Sports Illustrated.
Well, yeah.
He admitted in the filings that he had sex with her. But based upon my information and belief at the time, she was 16. He said that the relationship began somewhere in 75. Their encounters took place exclusively in the Cincinnati region. So it just gets very salacious.
And she claims that it took place in other states as
it may not be 16.
Yes.
In the filings, Dowd's attorneys asked Rose to identify every person under age 18 he ever had sex with, saying that while the age of consent was 16 in Ohio, it was older in the other states where he traveled each year. Ugh.
Well, it goes even further than that. He came out and said that that during spring training,
mm-hmm.
he would request 12 to 14-year-old girls be brought to him.
Yeah, here's the quote. He's referring to Michael Bertolini, mm-hmm. who is a longtime associate of Pete Rose.
And a memorabilia guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, Michael Bertolini, you know, told us that he not only ran bets, but he also ran young girls for him down at spring training, ages 12 to 14. Isn't that lovely? So that's statutory rape every time you do that. Pete Rose said in court papers that that report is entirely false in every respect. So that's going on right now. You're going to hear a lot more about that.
I mean, it's just, this is bizarre and weird. And obviously the statute of limitations has run out. So there's no way that he's going to be facing any criminal charges for this. But a 34-year-old man with, even if he thought she was 16.
Yeah.
A married man.
Well, that's creepy, yet technically not illegal, apparently, in Ohio.
At the time.
She's 16 years old at the time. It's still the case in many states. Nevada, it's 16.
Really?
I looked at a chart yesterday because I thought everywhere was
18.
It's not something I keep tabs on, but I thought everywhere.
It's not?
Yeah. I don't have the flip book in my house, but I thought every state would.
Yeah.
Nope, not the case. To this day, it's not the case. So here's the other thing, and listen, this is a sports show, and this is kind of an oogie section, but Pete Rose, listen, as I once introduced him as the home run king, he is a baseball legend, whether you like it or not. Here's one thing I left this story wondering. As you mentioned, the statute of limitations is far, far expired. Next time we have Emily Campagna or Michael McCann on, I got to ask him, why is, and maybe I'm just being naive here, I probably am, but why is there a statute of limitations on that?
Well, I'm assuming that it would be very difficult to prove something after a certain amount of time.
I mean, that's fine, but that's a different story than having a statute of limitations. Well, even if you can prove it, you can't be prosecuted for it. I don't understand that. I mean, the statute of limitations, I'm sure, and our lawyer friends listening right now, I'm sure, will disagree. I don't get it. I don't get why something like that, if you can prove that the guy had sex with 12 and 14-year-olds in 1954,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever year,
yeah.
he's still alive, go for it. Go after him. My goodness gracious.
There's no statute of limitations on murder, correct?
No.
Which is why all of the, you know, former Nazi internment camp, like they're being charged in their 80s and 90s,
sure.
correct? To this day, it's still happening.
I don't get it. That's and listen, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
You know, we know he's at the very least self-admitted.
I mean, he admitted to having what he thought was with a 16-year-old.
Yeah. He can be convicted of being gross. Like, he's certainly convicted of being gross. But, you know,
And based on his reputation and what he did in terms of baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Does anyone is this surprising?
Yeah,
does it make you think that he's guilty regardless?
No, like, not me. Okay. I listen. I'm sorry. Betting on baseball in one hand, having relations with 16-year-olds or under. Those are in. I don't want to say they're in different ballparks. They're in different sports, in different cities, on different continents. So no, I mean, for me, maybe other people think that way. If you can bend ethics, you bend ethics. I get that. I don't think there's necessarily a crossover between illegal betting and statutory rape. That's not in my head. When we get back, here we go. Good news for the Raiders on their first round draft pick. Bad news for the Raiders on their offensive line. Sonny Gray is a New York Yankee. And hey, got a list here of your top NFL jersey sales in the last quarter, since March. So Oakland Raider fans, you'll be very interested to know that you've got three people on the list. Three people on the list. See if you can guess who. We'll do all that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.